Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you to stimulating the formation of a capital funding ecosystem, jumpstarting small business funding with the Office of Financial Regulation. I am Shannon Procise with the Business Acceleration Network, and a number of you I had the opportunity to meet at the recent Florida Association Chamber Professionals with our amazing leader, Tammy Bracewell. Today we have a special talk. And looks like I'm not, there we go. Today we have a special talk with our commissioner and some of our team, some of his team. But before we get started, we wanna do a very special thanks to Tammy and FACP for hosting this webinar. More importantly, to be a continued trusted organization for resources, networking, and bringing together the organizations of the chamber, which is really vital for Florida's growth, Florida's development. And really, one of the things I loved about her event was the engaging networking, the collaborating, and how she was building community to help everybody as we're navigating this. I also want to thank you today as a participant. I know that there's many things you could be doing today, and we so appreciate you as a leader coming here right now to learn what's vital for Florida as we move forward in our small businesses. As we were working on this event, we reached out to over 200 Chamber of Commerce, and there were a number of them that were closed, and it was really, just really shine light on how important it is that you're here and that you're that voice for our businesses and what we're doing in the community. So again, we appreciate you carving out your time, and this is an important topic that impacts us all. So before we dive in, I wanna share with you a few ways that you can get the most out of this time, this next hour that we have together. First of all, you want to grab a pen and paper, if not a tablet device, so that you can jot down some notes. And this will be, some of the stuff you may want to go back and share with some of your members or business leaders in your community. And also have ready in the chat your contact information, because we would love to be able to connect with you. Also, we are opening up the very end for Q&A. We want to hear from you. This is really important. And just so you know, this is just the beginning. This is a real high level overview of what's the initiative that the commissioner's working on in the Office of Financial Regulation. We'll be sharing with you an upcoming event where you'll be invited on as a panelist and be able to engage directly with the team. So at the very bottom, if you scroll down, you'll be able to see your picture. You'll be able to see where there's video, mute, there's a Q&A. So please write down any questions as we go through the presentation in that Q&A box so that we can make sure that we answer them time permitted. Please keep in mind that if we run short on time today and we don't get your question answered, that we will take all your questions offline and follow up with you directly. So please make sure that you fill them out there. We'll also have Katie and Peter, somebody will put the contact information for your emails there in the chat. Lastly, we welcome you to take pictures of the slides as we go along. So feel free to have your cell phone ready if there's things that you want to capture. Also, if you want a replay of today's video, then please just email us. And again, they'll put that in the chat, the feedback at oflo.fr.gov, I believe that's correct. And then just put replay of FACP video, and we'll be sure to get that to you. Also, let's go through our agenda today. So today you're gonna learn, so many people say, what is the Office of Financial Regulation and how is that impacting our community and what does that do for us? So we're gonna do a quick overview of that, of this agency and how this supports us. Also, you'll get to meet some of the staff from the agency and the commissioner, Mr. Russell Weigel III himself. He is here because he wants to hear from you. That's why we're doing this today. We're here to gain your feedback and really partner with you in some of the things that we're doing here in Florida. You're also going to hear about some of the challenges that Florida's businesses are facing. And some of these you know, and some of them may be new and you might be hearing for the first time. You'll also learn about the Small Business Capital Funding Ecosystem Initiative and how you can influence its direction, which is really important. Then we will share how you can get involved and a few ways to that you might want to consider in this grassroots movement. We'll open it up for a Q&A and any closing remarks. Next, I have the honor and privilege of introducing Katie Norris. And Katie is incredible. She is served as a spokesperson for OFR. In this role, she's been for over 9 years. She's responsible for internal and external communications for the agency. You'll learn in this presentation how huge of an undertaking it is. And one of the things I love is her smile through it all. She's brilliant. She's committed. She's you know really here to really support each of us. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Miss Katie Norris.
Thank you so much, Shannon. Good morning, everyone.
And Katie, you may be muted.
Oh, I don't think I am. Am I unmuted?
Nope, we got you.
Oh, okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Shannon. Good morning. I'm happy to be here today. Just want to share a little bit more about who we are and what we do. So the OFR is the primary regulator of this chartered and licensed financial services industry in Florida. So we have approximately 350 employees in 5 offices statewide. So we're located in Tallahassee, Orlando, West Palm Beach, Miami, and Tampa, with regulatory oversight of more than 460,000 entities. A little history about OFR. We're actually a relatively new state government agency, having been created in 2003. However, our beginnings as a banking, consumer finance, and securities regulator date back to the mid-1800s. We're a cabinet agency, and we report to the Financial Services Commission, which is made up of the governor and members of the Florida Cabinet, the Attorney General, Chief Financial Officer, and Agriculture Commissioner. So we can go to the next slide. So our mission is to protect Florida's financial services consumers, promote a safe and sound financial marketplace, and contribute to the growth of Florida's economy through fair, innovative, and excellent regulation of the financial services industry. So we work every day to license and regulate financial services businesses in a way that promotes a healthy and innovative financial arena and grows the state economy, all while ensuring Floridians are protected from financial criminals and scams and illegal financial practices. You can go to the next slide. The OFR is organized into 3 divisions and 1 bureau. So the Division of Securities, which regulates investment advisors and the sale of securities in, to, or from Florida by stockbrokers and their firms. The Division of Consumer Finance, which licenses and examines non-depository financial services companies and individuals. So mortgage companies, retail and title lending, collection agencies, consumer finance companies, and money services businesses, including payday lenders. We have the Division of Financial Institutions, which has safety and soundness oversight for state chartered financial banks, credit unions, trust companies, and international bank licensees. And the Bureau of Financial Investigations, which is our criminal justice arm of the agency and performs complex financial investigations to ensure successful case outcomes. Our presentation today will focus on the securities area. We can go to the next slide. At this time, I'd like to introduce you to Commissioner Weigel. In March of 2020, the OFR welcomed new Commissioner Russell C. Weigel III. Our commissioner is an AV-rated securities attorney with more than 30 years of legal experience and a published author. He began his career as an enforcement attorney, serving 11 years with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in management, investigation, and litigation roles. After that, he spent 20 years in the private sector as a securities transaction and litigation attorney. He holds an undergraduate degree in economics from Vanderbilt University and a Juris Doctor from the University of Miami School of Law. A longtime focus of Commissioner Weigel has been the creation of Florida's small business capital funding ecosystem. Russ, take it away.
Thank you, Katie and Shannon. Thank you for the introductions. And thank you, you know, to the participants here. We are hoping to partner with you in our effort to create a really the framework for a capital funding system, an ecosystem that's self-sustaining in Florida. And the reason for that is quite simply, it just doesn't exist here. And we find that, you know, new businesses in the state, when they need financing, and they're unable to bootstrap or they're unable to get bank financing, they naturally look to investors to finance their businesses. The problem is Florida just isn't set up in a way that facilitates that. And so companies find themselves looking to outside sources, particularly in California, oftentimes New York or Texas, where they do oftentimes succeed in getting funded, but they're oftentimes also encouraged to leave Florida and move to those states. So we have a brain drain of our young companies, and that is something that I wish to stem. So one of the missions of the Florida Office of Financial Regulation is to grow Florida's economy. And my vision is to try to do that by creating a capital market for small companies. Now, some people will say, well, there's already a capital market here and it's working quite well. And that would be true for the top 1% of Florida companies. But my focus is on the bottom 99%. And so that's where the bulk of our employment is going to come from in the state. And so I'm hoping to create a system that works. And so I'm reaching out to different communities within the state, such as yourselves, trying to reach businesses and get their feedback, because we want to do this in a comprehensive and meaningful way, not just create a program that's pronounced by the government and hopefully it works. You know, I would rather create a program that is based on feedback from what people want. So thank you for, yeah, go ahead and advance the slide. Statistically, surveys have been done which show that Florida is from year to year in the top three nationally in forming new companies. A lot of them are tech companies. I mean, they're healthcare companies, just businesses in general. But Florida ranks in the bottom 10 nationally in funding companies. That in the bullet point here, it says we rank in the bottom 10 in growth of companies. That is true. And what happens is, since the companies can't get funded here, they're not employing people here, and they're moving out of state. And if they have employees from Florida, those employees are frequently encouraged to leave, and more often the employment gets or the staffing occurs, you know, out of state. So I'd like to prevent that. I think Florida is a great state, and I know it's a great state, and as you all do. And there's no good reason why we can't do all of that here. We just need to sort of ignite the system and get it going. So we're hoping to do some of that, like sort of lay some of the tracks down, you know, legislatively, and create some guideposts for businesses to connect and to be thinking about how they can be funded in the state, and encourage investors in the state to consider Florida companies. So you know, the problems I've mentioned. By background, I'm a securities attorney, which securities is focused on unsecured financing, usually of businesses, and that's the background I bring to the table. And it's been my experience, particularly in the 20 years I've had in the private sector, of seeing clients, you know, go through exactly the same predicament, where they just struggle here, and they hope to meet benefactors from other states, and get funded there. So there are some tools that are on the books that we're going to talk about briefly. One of those is crowdfunding, and another is our registered offering statute. And they're on the books, but they don't work. And I'll show you some statistics on that. And so the effect is, if the company decides to stay in the state and they need capital, they're inevitably going to only be able to bootstrap and not and get the capital infusion that they're really looking for. So their growth is going to be prolonged and in some situations much riskier for their success. So next slide, please. So here's just some actual data on Florida's experience in using these statutes. We have two categories here. One is called intermediaries and one is issuers. So this is for our crowdfunding statute. Our crowdfunding idea is based on the Federal Jobs Act of 2012. The problem with the Jobs Act as a in-state statute, which is what ours is that it just doesn't work. We have a requirement that a company that wants to raise capital in the crowdfunding manner, they have to associate with an online platform, and the platform is the one that is actually interfacing with potential investors, and that's an online portal. It's a system I think is great, but the problem simply is we don't have intermediaries serving as portals in Florida. Therefore, anybody who wishes to do a crowdfunding offering can't do it. And why is that? Well, the statistic is for up to 2020. We actually did get a portal to register last week, so we have now one in the state of Florida. But we certainly can't run an ecosystem on one platform, and so we need more participants, we need more competition, and the intermediaries are a great I think concept. We just need to stimulate them to want to do business here, want to create a platform here, and serve the issuer community, the business community. The registrations, as you can see, same sort of null set. We've had a couple of applications, we've had a couple of registrations. They were non-functional, never succeeded, and the last 2 years, we've had zero that actually got registered with OFR up until, as I mentioned, last week. So next slide. Thank you. We also have a system of registering an investment offering, and the statute that we have is based on a theory called merit review, and merit review is one in which the government, in this case it's my agency, is tasked with the job of deciding whether a company merits raising capital from investors. So, that is a state system that is prevalent nationwide, but it's not a successful system. The one that you're probably familiar with is the one that's run at the federal level, which is governed by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And that is a disclosure-based system where a company that wants to raise capital provides in a written document, usually a prospectus, all material facts that pertain to the company and to the offering, so the investors can decide whether the investment opportunity makes sense for them, instead of the government deciding whether the company qualifies to raise capital. So that's a simple statutory fix that I'm hoping to get done, and we want to change our system into one of disclosure review. where OFR's role is minimized to an extent, and we're not adjudicating in essence whether a company deserves to raise capital. For example, our current statute says that a company that is insolvent is not eligible for merit review. But the reality is most of our new companies are pre-revenue. They're always going to be pre-revenue at some point. And they don't qualify under that standard because they're inherently insolvent. So it's just a dead on arrival kind of a situation. And so we take away that legislative block, and hopefully, we've reduced one of the barriers to raising capital in the state. The statistics on merit review on our current system are dismal. As you can see, in 2020, we had 4 applications. That's 4 companies, not just in Florida, but nationwide registering in Florida to do an offering in Florida, only 4. 2 of those withdrew and 2 got approved. And I believe both of the approved offerings were for companies that were outside of Florida. So it's a horrible situation that I'm hoping to change here. Next slide, please. So what's the solution? One of the ideas that we are proposing, as I mentioned, is to incentivize the crowdfund platform businesses to start up in the state. But those we refer to as intermediaries, but there's 2 kinds of intermediaries that I'm interested in licensing in Florida. And the other is called finders. They're like real estate brokers or real estate agents trying to connect a homeowner with a potential home buyer in the capital network. They would be acting as brokers, basically, but not full service brokers like you're used to seeing. And they would be essentially like the real estate agents, just trying to connect potential investors with businesses that are looking for capital. We would register them, do background checks, and go through our normal process of investigating them before giving them a license, just as we do for stockbrokers that are fully licensed, just as we do for investment advisors. It would be the same process. It's just that this group would not have to go through the typical FINRA licensing program that the full service brokers do. And they would not be handling cash. They would not be handling investor funds like full service brokers can do. So we would keep them at a lower level. And hopefully those people that are would basically serve to bird dog deals, if you will. And hopefully that group would grow and be successful and create an army of people out there that would help stimulate our system, our funding system. So that was for crowdfunding. That is for non-crowdfund deals as well. Both of those programs, the crowdfunding platform and the finders, both of them are in the category of intermediaries. I would like to get both of them as programs up and running. And one of the incentives that we're thinking about is for the crowdfunding platforms is allowing them to source other kinds of offerings, not just crowdfunding. We're proposing to increase some of the capital limits on crowdfunding itself, but not require the crowdfund issuers to only associate with a portal. If they had the capacity, for example, to reach investors online themselves, then I don't see why they couldn't do that. And so these are some of the ideas we're playing with, trying to make the capital market in Florida more accessible to smaller companies, to lower the barriers to offerings, registered offerings, and private offerings, and hopefully, you know, this will become a thing. So we're talking to business accelerators. We're talking to the academic community, particularly the entrepreneurship programs. We're talking to angel investor groups. We're talking to venture capital participants. And we're talking to business groups in general, trying to get the word out about our interest in creating this system here, as well as getting feedback, you know, from all of them on the pain points that they've experienced thus far and want to see fixed, you know, by our Florida government. And so we're kind of in survey mode, and we have been gathering public feedback, and we've been posting it on our website. The website is flofr.gov, flofr.gov. There's a link on the homepage there for securities reform. And if you click the link, it takes you to a page where there's a summary of the concepts. And there are some hot links on that page to the cumulative list of ideas that we've received thus far. I'm hoping to gather these ideas through the, I would say the end of July. And then we want to sort of canvas the entire state with a survey where we actually have people kind of vote on the ideas that they think are best. And so that process, so we'll actually, you know, have a, you know, a democratized community out there saying what they want. And then we hope to be able to respond with a, I guess, with additions to a bill we're working on that would include the, you know, the public requests. So that time frame is that starting in September. We're trying to get the bill completed, and as I mentioned, we already have a draft going, and so it won't be that much of a lift to edit it and add to it this summer. But we are on a fast track, and we would love to partner with you and have you reach out to your constituents and see if there's interest on their part in either, well, initially in partnering with us, but ultimately we want feedback. And, you know, and the end game, of course, is to support the bill in the legislature. So we're looking for future support, talking about it now and get people thinking about, you know, coming to Tallahassee for our different committee meetings as this bill progresses forward. And that we can show we have public support, because that's the only way we're going to get the legislative aspect of an ecosystem fixed, is to get the bill pushed through the legislature. So what are your comments? We want your input, and I'll hand it back to Shannon. Thank you for your attention.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Commissioner. We really appreciate your time today. And yes, please ask any questions you have. I'm going to share with you a couple ways to get involved. The first one is, please complete the survey. Here's a QR code. You can take a screenshot. There's also the address at the bottom. Tammy will be providing the slide to everybody that's registered for the event afterwards. But please complete this survey. That would be a big help. There's only 10 simple questions, and two of them are optional, which is your contact information and if you want to join our newsletter or have somebody contact you. The next item is to share this webinar and the survey with others. Who do you know that would want to contribute to the feedback and be a part of what's happening here? Also, join our email list. Now, when you do the survey, you can just click the box, find out what's happening and be involved and get the updates. Also, any introductions you might have, who do you know? The commissioner listed, we're looking for individuals in incubators and accelerators, and we've already reached out to a ton of them, but if you can make that personal introduction, that's really powerful. Also, let us know how we can help you. Is there something that you heard today that that maybe gave you an idea and ways that we can help you. We want to hear that. In the chat, we've provided the email, so please reach out. And also the biggest thing is joining us as a power partner. And a power partner is where you're involved in what we're doing. And we actually have our initial event coming up. This is going to be a little different format. We're actually going to bring those business leaders that join us onto the panel so that we can hear and connect with you. We're also going to be doing a breakout session so that you'll be able to network with each other and be able to brainstorm and mastermind on this opportunity. We've got a great agenda, and the commissioner will be there, and you'll be able to speak with him directly. So we're really excited about that. So if that's something that you want to participate, again, take a picture of this slide, or you can reach out and email us, and we will be happy to get back and have you join us. This is going to be something that's ongoing. So this will be, you know, every month we'll be coming together and providing the latest updates. So this is really, you know, kind of that inner circle. Not that it's, you know, everything's public, but just you get to hear first and be a part of what we're doing. And so this next part, now we're going to open it up for the Q&A. We're super grateful that you're here today. We have a couple of questions, and also please take a picture of this slide. We got to hear from Katie this morning. Here's the phone number, the website, all of the contact information. Katie, do you see a question you want to ask first of the commissioner that came in the chat room?
Yes. Commissioner, what is the benefit of in-state equity crowdfunding over other means of raising capital?
What is the benefit over others? Well, it's an individual circumstances situation. Crowdfunding is one of the tools that is available to a company that is intending to raise capital. It's not the only tool. There are many other registered offering and exempt scenarios where the company, you know, could avail itself of. Crowdfunding is one of them, but crowdfunding is one of the more interesting and useful opportunities if it's set up correctly, and that is because the idea of crowdfunding is that a business can reach out to investors that it does not know necessarily. Do it on an online context, and you know, champion the merits of their business and the terms of their offering, and hopefully get what usually amounts to small cash contributions, but from a collective, you know, from a numerous amount of people, which is different than the usual scenario where you may be familiar with, where the term friends and family, the usual people that help out a young business, you know, would be a friends and family type community, which their support for the business is not necessarily related to the merits of the business or the offering terms, but it's their relationship with the founders. Could be a blood relationship, their interest in helping them succeed. So the notions are a little different as to what or the rationale for the investor to support the business. Crowdfunding is more of the anonymous style, much like a Kickstarter type campaign where your company is seeking cash from people it doesn't know. But it's just putting out the idea there on a website and seeing, you know, who might be interested. That's the tool, and that's the novelty of it. It has potential for a number of businesses, and but as I've been saying, in Florida, it just doesn't work.
Commissioner, I see another question. What are the most significant shifts in policy that would make it more attractive for funding businesses in Florida?
There are a number of policy shifts. Well, the ones I've been talking about include just the philosophy. We start with that, the philosophy about changing Florida mirroring Florida's business environment to match its changed demographics. We once, I would say, and for a long time, were a sleepy retirement state where the elderly moved here and brought their wealth and scammers preyed on them. And that's the system, the protections, the barriers to raising capital in Florida are based on that scenario, trying to overly protect the elderly. And that demographic has changed. I mean, we are now the third largest state. We've got over 20 million people here and, people of all ages, families that are starting here, the families that are moving here. And so we have a different need for employment, and we still always have concerns about fraud. But the idea here is that we should be able to offer more tools and still keep our thumb on the process from a criminal standpoint to keep bad actors out and minimize the threat that they pose. But we need to grow our economy and we need to support our businesses. And this is, part of the proposed change that my agency can offer. So it's a philosophical thing. And then the delving down from that is, well, we have a merit-based system. That was a system that was designed, I think, primarily to protect the elderly. And by prohibiting them from being able to invest in startup companies. Well, if we're one of the top states to create startup companies and our statute is designed to prevent funding of them, that's just a bad idea, right? So, that's a primary stumbling block that I want to fix. And crowdfunding is part of that. Crowdfunding is, it's not a bad idea in concept. It's just that the state mirrored its program after the federal program. The federal program was truly designed for nationwide offerings to be conducted by companies who were seeking to, get investors from different states. Our need is not that in Florida. We don't need to necessarily go out to different states and get capital. That's actually what I'm trying to change. It's that we should be able to source them locally. And, we want our investors to fund businesses locally. We don't need the high cost, high barrier to entry format that the national crowdfunding program provides. We need a simplified program that allows local businesses to reach out to their local marketplace. And that's part of it. And another aspect is education. We're not legislating education, but we are part of the conversation in encouraging the education of investors and the education of entrepreneurs to look at the state, look at the state resources, and try to bring them together in a way that it stimulates their continued communication. And we're trying to get different areas of the state to talk to each other because the state business-wise is somewhat balkanized. We have South Florida as a region doing its own thing. We have the I-4 corridor as a region doing its own thing. We have North Florida, doing its own thing. And we're trying to get different groups, different academic communities to network together and thereby broaden the resources that are available to their own communities. For example, getting accelerators in Tampa to communicate with accelerators in Miami, as an example, and share their networks so that the entrepreneurs in both places have different options So there's an educational aspect to this as well. And the academic community, you know, has to also step up to the plate and realize that they have a new market here, a new sector of future employees that need training, and they need skills to support new enterprises. And that's the feature, I think, that is ultimately going to be hugely important for our sustainability in this realm. And because that is a feature in New York, that's a feature in Silicon Valley, and it's a feature in Austin, Texas, where the academic communities really do integrate with the business communities and provide educational opportunities to support skill sets that contribute to the local growth of business. And the Florida academic community is just starting to realize that they have an opportunity here, and they're starting to step up to the plate with different programs in different cities. That's not something that is appropriate for legislation. Some people have suggested, well, the state needs to offer us grants, you know, offer the businesses grants and things like that. And that may be correct, but we're also, you know, trying to build this program coming out of a pandemic where revenue for the state has been down. So we are proposing a bootstrap situation, if you will, doesn't require the state to support businesses in the financial sense, but lays the tracks down so that the right players can get involved and facilitate it. That's the big change, I think, or a list of changes, if you will. Sorry for the long answer. It was a big question. Is there another one?
Yep, I'll go ahead and get the next question. Cindy asked, are there parameters on potential size of business when it comes to these type of capital raising?
No. The statutes are agnostic as to business size. The goal is to create a system where the investors, you know, are provided sufficient information about the business that is seeking to raise capital, so the potential investor can decide whether that is a risk worth taking. So if the size of the business, you know, is a decision factor for the investor, you know, that's information that they should be made aware of.
Okay.
Any others?
Go ahead, Katie.
So, Commissioner, where can our local entrepreneurs learn more about equity, crowdfunding, and registered offerings?
Well, there are potentially many sources. The OFR itself is engaged in a process of trying to make information available in a hub-like fashion where we can put out a lot of our... I guess you could call it resources or educational material. We're trying to build our own platform of information to serve as a resource. The SEC is a good source. Most of the entrepreneurs that are not affiliated with an accelerator or incubator type program are the ones probably in search of basic information, because I would think the business communities are probably already primed to think about the tools they need to finance the companies that are part of their incubator or accelerator programs. And likewise with the academic community, which may support some homegrown, college-based startups, and they're going to certainly, provide that information. But we're going to try to do our part and make it available as much as we can. So we understand. I mean, the cost of raising capital includes the need to know certain types of information. And sometimes the entrepreneurs only get that from the accounting community. Maybe they get it from the legal community, but those educations are pricey. And, you know, as in terms of the fees that the professionals will charge, you know, for that education and telling them what they should and shouldn't do. You know, we're hoping to limit that barrier as well by serving as a resource.
Great. We have another question. Do you find bringing more investors/lenders to Florida more important or bringing startups?
Bringing lenders or investors to Florida.
Yeah.
Well, I think our goal is to focus on the existing people in Florida, you know, and while people are coming to Florida in droves anyway, we're not necessarily directly trying to recruit lenders or you know, outside investors specifically. I mean, that you know, perhaps is a an option for us. Thus far, I've been focused on trying to educate the locals. You know, that's been our focus, both the investor community and the business community, and get them focused on what we have here already. But that's a great point, frankly, because you know, just like the employees that are coming to Florida with tech skills, for example, they're ahead of the game than some of our locals that are in the process of learning and in the process of getting educated to be employees in a tech enterprise. You know, getting people that are already skilled, you know, makes sense for the businesses. They can get served now. I mean, that's a great point. We haven't thought about that specifically, just because you know, the framework for us is, you know, fix the current system we have. But I think that's one we should add to our list. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for a couple more questions. How is crowdfunding a better alternative than pitching to investors?
Well, it depends on the company and the situation and the need. It also depends on what, I mean, in terms of the business's need, who do they already know? Crowdfunding is a tool that probably is going to be utilized by entrepreneurs who don't have a rich uncle, who don't have resources to funding networks or the ability to bootstrap. It's a way for them to reach out to, like, to an anonymous crowd and see what they're willing to do. Oftentimes the business that engages in crowdfunding is one that has a following, you know, or a customer base, maybe a following online, and the crowdfunding can serve as a way to, you know, try to monetize in a financing manner those kinds of relationships. But a lot of times the participants or the crowdfunding companies are simply lacking the relationships, and that's why they will choose the crowdfunding tool for them.
Okay, what's the difference between private registered offering and equity crowdfunding?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the first part of that?
Yes, what is the difference between private registered offerings and equity crowdfunding?
That's a little bit of a misstatement. A registered offering is a public offering. It's not private. So it's by design one that is filed with a government agency and then is available, you know, to solicit both accredited and unaccredited investors. That's a public offering. A private offering has some limitation on the types of people that might be solicited, or a geographic limitation, or something that makes it not a broad-based opportunity like a public offering would be. So a registered offering is a public offering, and the private offering, which might be crowdfunding offerings, believe it or not, are considered to be private because they're targeted in nature. Although they are publicly announced, they are designed to be targeted in, they're capped in the amount of funds that can be raised. There are programmatic limitations on the different levels of capital that are raised, and reporting requirements and things like that. But the idea is it still kind of qualifies under the private exemption because it's not one that's filed with a government agency and reviewed before dissemination. The hallmark of a private offering is one that is done, you know, more or less directly between the business and investors, and not going through a government review before being disseminated. I hope that helps.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Commissioner. Thank you so much, Tammy. Again, if you have feedback, please, we've shared the link with the survey. Join our event next Monday. That's 1:30 to 2:30. This is where you'll be added as a panelist and be able to engage directly. Thank you so much, Commissioner. Thank you, Katie. Tammy, thank you for being a leader that you are, and the way that you support chambers and organizations and the ripple effect that you have in our community, and seeing the value and getting this message out there. So with that, I wish everybody a remarkable week, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.